Amen. We continue with confession and forgiveness.
Wash away our sins. You welcome us.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading this evening is from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 51 responsively. Will you all please read the bold print? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you speak and right in your judgment.
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me and would have me know wisdom deep within.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear in our gospel lesson today a desire that's coming from the Greeks that rush up to Philip and say, "We wish to see Jesus." A desire can probably, really simplify for us what it really means for our ministry, what our targets for our ministry should be. We want to cultivate an environment in our ministry in which people can see Jesus. So if we're asking ourselves as a congregation, should we start ministry X? Should we continue to do program Y? The baseline question I think we could ask ourselves here are people seeing Jesus? Are people seeing Jesus in what we're doing? Are people seeing Jesus in what we're offering? Why or why not? In Lent, as we journey to the cross, we're getting this recurring theme on definitions and expectations of this world versus what the kingdom of God is all about. And today we get a distinction between glory in this world and what the glory of God means to us. See, we can chase the glory of our past as individuals and as a community. I hear congregations that really struggle with this. I hear congregations say, we used to have this. We used to do that. People used to come for this. Pastor so-and-so used to do that. And then there are those who chase glory in the present, wanting to be relevant, and so they fill their ministry up with things because they like them, or they fill their ministry up for things because they think other people might like it and be drawn to it. Notice how all of that has very little, if anything, with people being able to see Jesus. Wanting people to see Jesus is important, I believe, in ministry. It's quintessential. But what is exactly we're inviting them to see if we're then saying and agreeing that we want people to see Jesus? Our gospel lesson gives us some indication of this. And Jesus is for all people. Can't forget that. These are Greeks that are coming up to Philip. These are non-Jewish people wanting to see Jesus in our gospel lesson. And let's go back to Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3 to 8. We hear in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3 to 8, "Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And do not let the eunuch say, 'I'm just a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the son, than any sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join them, who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." So here in John's gospel, we have this image of Jesus saying, "I'm going to draw all people to myself." And those outcasts, those Gentiles, those people that don't belong, he's going to bring them to his holy mountain, to this, make for them joyful in his house of prayer, He's going to gather all those outcasts, all the people. And in doing this, Jesus is not pursuing the glory of this world. He's not pointing to the good old days of Israel's past. He's not seeking to be relevant by the standards and expectations of the day. Notice when he hears this request that, you know, hey, these people wish to see you, he's not like puffed up with excitement, right? He's talking about what's necessary in order for them to truly see him. And that's being lifted up on the cross. He's not looking for celebrity status. He's not looking for elevation of political power. It's through the cross that Jesus will be glorified. It's through the cross that all people will be drawn to him. We fall short when we believe that people see and experience the glory of Jesus just by grounding themselves solely in doing the right thing and making the right decisions. The glory of Jesus, what we hear in John today, is Jesus going lower. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 3 and 6. You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. It is too light a thing that you shall be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Jesus says, I will draw all people to myself. So once again, we get another example in our Lenten journey that God's glory is not about winning as we define it. God's glory is about revelation. It's about revelation. It's in the cross of Christ that we see God. We see the God who is love drawing all people to himself. It is in our sin and brokenness that we have failed. And because we've failed through our sin and brokenness, because we have failed through our disobedience and rebellion, God has lowered himself and is then willing to accept himself to be lifted up on the cross so that the glory of God's love would be revealed, so that we could see our redemption in that suffering servant who goes so low for our sake that he dies for our sins. That God would show his love for the world. It would be revealed to us as Jesus dying on the cross. So if we're meeting people who say, in word or just in that, in something in their spirit, they're communicating to us, we wish to see Jesus, then we must show them Jesus revealed to us on the cross. This is what forms and shapes our understanding of God. Because there are plenty of forms of Christianity in our society that try to show Jesus without the cross. And the glory they claim to show is largely rooted in the standards of glory and success of the world. The glory and success that we receive from the cross, that's truly life-giving. You hear me preach this constantly, how freeing and liberating it is, because it's true. And we need to be reminded of it as we live in this dark and broken world, because we're not going to chase the glory of our past. We're not going to chase the glory of tomorrow in this world. Because when Jesus is our future, we have it all today. We have life in full today. Now, as a Yankee fan, I can relate to your expectations when rooting for the Ohio State Buckeyes when it comes to football in particular. Are there ever enough championships that they can win? The answer is no, right? If they won last year, do any of us say, okay, we won last year, we don't need one this year? Does any of us have that expectation when a new season starts? No. But you see, that is the glory in this world. See how quickly it fades? You win a championship, and you better win the next one. The glory we receive from Jesus on the cross is everlasting. When somebody's elected to Congress, they have to constantly fundraise to ensure that they're in a good position to get reelected. I think it's back in the late 90s, it was like $10,000 a week. I'm sure it's more now. They spend something like 4 hours of their day speaking, connecting with donors. The glory of this world fades so quickly. But the glory that we receive from Jesus on the cross is everlasting. I think that gives us some clarity and sense in what Jesus is saying here when he says that those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. So we're going to operate, in many respects, opposite to how the world operates. We must lose our sense of what glory means in order to truly see and experience the glory of God. Our old selves must die. We must be willing to turn away from the ways and expectations of this world. That will give us the ability to embrace the way of Jesus, our glorified Lord revealed to us on the cross. Beloved people of God, Jesus is drawing all people to himself, but he's also inviting us to live in a new way. And that new way is shaped and transformed by the cross. Like Jesus, we too become a servant. And that's how we're called to live in this world. We're no longer chasing that glory of our past or the glory of tomorrow, but pointing to the glory of God on the cross. In our Hebrews lesson, we have an image of Christ being our high priest. And the image of priest invokes one in which I see the priest as a mediator between us and God. Those mediators stood between the people of God, offering up sacrifices for the people to God on their behalf. And if Jesus is our high priest, what does he do? He offers himself, and in doing so, we see the glory of God. In doing so, we are brought back into the fold with God, in full communion with God. Now, I invite you to apply this to that familiar term of the priesthood of all believers. We have seen and received the glory of God poured out for us on the cross. We've entered into a new reality and a new world through the love of God by the means of grace that we've received in holy baptism and holy communion. Then in this world, we may find ourselves as priests standing in the gap between others and God, those that want to see Jesus. Serving and following Jesus means we're loving all those people that the Lord seeks to draw to himself the same way he loves us. It's doing ministry with and for all people. To share the love of Jesus means to serve and follow Jesus in the way he loves and serves us. Not chasing the glory of the past or the glory of tomorrow, but as the priesthood of all believers, in word and deed, we show people the glory of God revealed to us on the cross. May it be so, church. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we boldly pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You wash us through and through, and remember our sin no more. Make your church a community of forgiveness throughout the world. Bless your people. Give your people courage to forgive. Through them, show the world new possibilities. Bless ministries of repentance and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You fill the earth, from tiny grains of wheat to the mighty thunder, with your presence, and you call us to attend to your will for all creation. Grant weather that prepares the soil for seeds. Protect all from violent storms, flooding, and wildfires. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You promise to write your law on our hearts. Guide citizens throughout the world to shape communities that reflect your mercy, justice, and peace, and give them creativity to work for the welfare of all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You love the whole world, and with wonderful diversity and cultures, you created people in your own image. We especially pray for Asian, American, and Pacific Islander communities as they have experienced an increase in racially motivated attacks. Free us from prejudice and fear, that we may see your face in the faces of all people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord, you sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Restore the joy of all who need to know your presence, those who are lonely or feel unforgivable, those who need healing of body or mind. And especially tonight, we lift up to you Candace Grimm. Candace is going to have surgery April 5th on her spine. The surgery will take 8 to 10 hours. And we lift our sister to you tonight, Father, and place her firmly in your hands for safekeeping. And we ask you now in advance for her healing. We also lift up to you Kylie, Matt, Tracy, Susie, Scott, Tim, Wilma, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Ellie, Stan, Marlene and her family, Ken and our family, Blaine, Robin, Michelle, Charles, Rhonda, the family of Deborah Rogers, Diane, John, Gloria, Claire and Thomas, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, Frank, Elby, and all of our homebound, those who are dying, and all who grieve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Jesus calls us to follow him in life and death. Empower this congregation in discipleship. Give us your truth and wisdom, and teach us to follow Jesus. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We lift up all those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Thomas Cranmer, with all those who have died in Christ, bring us in. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe, your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God. Blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Distribution for the Sacrament of Holy Communion will be at the west side of the parking lot. We will meet you there, and as each vehicle has received the sacrament, you will be dismissed with a final blessing. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
The same.